Super. And then I guess you would just hit enter. Okay, we're gonna figure out the audiovisual stuff here. Okay, good morning. As Lulu mentioned, we've had to bring in the second string to give this talk because unfortunately Jeanette is sick. And if any of you wanna go over to the plenary session for healthcare reform, please feel free to do that. If you wanna move closer because these screens are sort of small, feel free to move up front too. And I'm going to do my best to tell you about genomics and public health practice, CDC-funded pilot projects, and four state health departments. But I want you to remember as you listen to me talk that I am going to be reading a lot of it because this isn't my presentation. So just forgive me for reading. I normally wouldn't read that much, but I think to be true to what Jeanette wants us to convey, I'm going to have to read some of it. So bear with me. Now, how do we do this part? Okay. This is your typical disclosure statement slide. Okay. The objective of this capstone project was to conduct an evaluation of the performance of genomics programs established in four state health departments from 2003 to 2005. And I want you also to know, 2008. I also want to mention that I joined the office after this project. So Sarah Bedrosian is also in our office, and she has been involved in it longer than I, perhaps. So perhaps she can answer some questions that I cannot. Program evaluation is required of all CDC-funded cooperative agreements. However, it is rarely ever done. So this project was one of those rare opportunities for CDC to fulfill that requirement. And it will definitely help our Office of Public Health Genomics understand the success, challenges, strengths, and weaknesses of these programs and what future directions we might want to take. Human genomics is important for public health. Understanding gene-gene and gene-environment interactions can help us understand disease susceptibility, treatment response, and health outcomes. Studying these interactions can help researchers and practitioners understand why some people get sick while others do not, the disease outcomes of individuals and populations and their response to treatment, and which is actually essentially pharmacogenomics. Integrating genomic knowledge and tools into research, policy, and programs could lead to new and better ways to prevent diseases and improve public health. Public health genomics is defined as a multidisciplinary field focused on the effective and responsible translation of genome-based knowledge and technologies into healthcare practices to improve population health. It uses population data on genetic variation and gene-environment interactions to develop evidence-based tools for improving health and preventing disease. Integrating genome-based information and applications into public health research, policy, and programs can help researchers and practitioners develop new and better interventions for preventing diseases and improving the health of individuals in the United States. By genome-based information, what I mean are risk factors such as specific genes that are associated with specific diseases like BRCA1 and 2 for breast and ovarian cancer, and also their family history of disease. By genomic applications, I mean examples such as genetic tests, pharmacogenomics, and family history assessments. As we all know, the U.S. public health system is large and includes many partners, each with important roles. And one of our most important partners is state health departments in public health. State health departments serve as an essential and unique role in disease prevention and health promotion in the United States. They are responsible for core public health functions, including surveillance, laboratory services, and environmental sciences. States do not always have a lot of resources, but they have good capacity for establishing diverse public, private, and government partnerships and coordinating all of those activities. States are also able to reach a broad range of audiences to directly address health problems. For these reasons, states can provide leadership in new areas such as public health genomics and genome-based medicine. The funding period for these genomic cooperative agreements was July 2003 through June 2008. State health departments that were awarded during this period were Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, and Utah. And for each of the 5 years of the cooperative agreements, the states received $150,000 to $200,000 per year. Is that correct, Sarah? It's per year that they received the money. It wasn't over the five-year period. So per year, they each got $150,000 to $200,000. And Myra's in the back, and yes. Okay, I wasn't quite sure about that part. The goal of these cooperative agreements was to integrate genomics knowledge and tools into public health functions and disease prevention programs. CDC provided funding and technical assistance for the states to develop genomics programs involving capacity building, program planning, development, implementation, evaluation, and surveillance. To evaluate these states' genomic programs, CDC developed a framework based on the requirements outlined in the CDC Cooperative Agreement. That is, recipient activities, CDC activities, and performance measures. The inputs for this framework are the resources like budget, staff, equipment, software, supplies that a genomics program would need to conduct their activities. And the activities include surveillance training campaigns, traditional things. The outputs are the items resulting from activities such as data collected and educational curricula. The inputs, outputs, and activities of these genomics programs should be developed in proportion to what is needed to achieve the five-year performance measures, which are essentially the goals of the program. So, what are the five-year performance measures? Verbatim from the cooperative agreement that the genomics programs were required to receive, the first measure was evidence that the state had integrated genomics and related risk assessment tools, such as family history, as a routine component of disease investigation and analysis. Second, evidence that the states had used population data and the existing genomics knowledge base to develop or revise chronic environmental and infectious disease programmatic activities, interventions, and policies. And finally, evidence that the states had conducted preliminary evaluations of the impact of genomics in case identification, disease prevention, economic, and disease-specific health outcomes. The genomic programs were required to achieve first-year performance measures. These primarily focused on assessing capacity within the states for genomic integration, hiring staff and building the organizational infrastructure, establishing leadership, and developing state genomics plans. For the first performance measure, which was the integration piece, CDC looked for evidence that the genomics programs had established state genomic plans, integrated genomics into disease prevention plans, established partnerships and conducted joint activities, established policies, guidelines, and standards, educated the workforce, policymakers, and the public. The second performance measure, which was the population data piece, the outputs were genomic surveillance and population assessments, use and dissemination of genomic data. And then that third performance measure, which was the evaluation piece, evaluation of genomics programs and evaluation of specific activities. I just want to mention that partnership for the purpose of these cooperative agreements is defined as a close working relationship with government agencies, academic and research institutions, healthcare plans, nonprofit organizations, industry, or other healthcare organizations. So putting it all together, this slide is sort of a representation of what that framework of, it's a visual representation of the components of the framework that I just mentioned. So we have the inputs on the far left of the slide, the activities that I just mentioned, the outputs, and then the five-year genomics measures. Just let you look at that for a sec. Typical framework, but those are the components. Next was to collect and compile information from each state. CDC collected information from July 2003 to June 2008 from these resources: grant applications, interim and annual reports, annual CDC technical reports, CDC site visit reports, minutes from conference calls and meetings, scientific articles and presentations, websites, news letters, and other materials, as well as, very importantly, interviews with the staff. And these were the state staff people, as well as CDC staff. And then finally, they summarized and analyzed outputs toward reaching the three performance measures that we reviewed previously. So let's talk about the results. And for the next four slides, they're going to be the same for each of the four states. So this Michigan setup is what we'll have for the reporting of the other states. So in terms of inputs, CDC wanted to summarize the resources of the genomics programs and get an understanding for where they were located within the health department. So the Michigan genomics program is part of the genomics unit in the Division of Genomics, Perinatal Health, and Chronic Disease Epi in the Bureau of Epi of the Michigan Department of Community Health, and it's referred to as MDCH. As of June 2008, the program had two project co-directors, a genomics coordinator program manager, an environmental and laboratory analyst, and a part-time administrative assistant. These staff have expertise in genetic counseling, epidemiology, public health, environmental sciences, and education. Additional funds for this project were provided throughout the state, and they had strong genomics advocates within the health department. For Minnesota, their genomics program is located in the Division of Health Promotion and Chronic Disease of the Minnesota Department of Health. During the cooperative agreement period, the program had a part-time director, one full-time staff with experience in genetic counseling and public health, a part-time student interns from the University of Minnesota, and health educators, web designers, and the State Health Department also provided some support. However, Minnesota, unlike Michigan, had no additional funds from the state and had a lack of support from leadership. Oregon, their genomics program is located in the Office of Family Health in the Public Health Division of the Oregon Department of Human Services, ODHS. As of June 2008, the genomics program had five part-time staff with expertise in genetic counseling, public health, epidemiology, policy, and graphic and informational design. Like Minnesota, they had no additional funds from the state and lacked some leadership support. Utah, their genomics program is located in the Division of Community and Family Health Services and the Bureau of Health Promotion at the Utah Department of Health. During the cooperative agreement period, the program had a part-time program manager, a full-time genomics educator, and a part-time epidemiologist. They had no additional funds from the state, but some leadership support. So, the findings for Performance Measure 1, the integration piece for Michigan. The Michigan Genomics Program was successful at achieving this performance measure, which was evidenced by the many diverse partnerships and well-established ongoing activities in surveillance, population assessments, education, and policy development at the national, state, and local levels. Through a partnership with the Cardiovascular Disease Prevention Program, the Genomics Program successfully integrated routine family health history assessments into screening processes for the Wise Woman Program and the SCD of the Young Project. A key policy achievement was inclusion of mandatory family history questions as a part of reporting for the state cancer registry. Additionally, the Michigan and Minnesota genomics programs were instrumental in establishing family history risk assessments as a requirement in the 2007 CDC cooperative agreements for Wise Woman, thereby setting a national standard for this program. The Minnesota Genomics Program was able to put in place some foundational activities, for example, integrating genomics into state plans, five disease prevention programs. However, there was only a little evidence of genomics-related activities that were conducted from these state plans. Key achievements were the integration of multiple unique family history activities into the Wise Woman Program. Is there anybody here from Wise Woman? Okay. The genomics program also developed family history and chronic disease fact sheets, which were adapted by state disease prevention programs and numerous organizations across the United States. Another key achievement was the inclusion of new genomics courses into the annual Summer Public Health Institute at the University of Minnesota, helping to educate the public health workforce through the country. The Oregon genomics program was able to put in place some foundational activities, for example, establishing a state genomics plan and integrating genomics into the state cancer control program. But there was very little evidence of genomics-related activities that were conducted from these state plans. Oregon showed leadership in policy planning and development, conducting a breadth of state-based activities for genetic privacy and providing an example for other states to adopt. They had limited evidence of establishing sustained activities with state disease prevention programs. The Utah Genomics Program was able to put into place some foundational activities. For example, establishing a state genomics plan, integrating genomics into the state prevention programs for cancer and heart disease and stroke, and developing a new asthma genomics work plan. They showed leadership in health education and planning and implementing family history awareness campaigns, and for this they gained national, state, and local recognition. While a significant effort was made, the genomics program struggled a bit overall to establish sustained genomics activities with state disease prevention programs. Okay, the findings for performance measure two, and this was the use of population data to develop or revise a program. The Michigan, Oregon, and Utah genomics programs routinely collected population-based data through BRFSS, PRAMS, and YRBSS. To compare states, Michigan, Oregon, and Utah used similar questions for the BRFSS. For example, patients were asked if healthcare providers collected their family history during health visits. Patients were also asked if they were familiar with and ever used direct-to-consumer marketed genetic tests and personal genomic scans. The states have jointly presented their findings on family history at conferences, and they've worked with the genomics programs on an article comparing the three states on public health awareness and use of nutrigenomic tests. And this article will actually be published in the American Journal of Epidemiology this year. Additionally, Oregon consistently disseminated summary tables of their data through their website and other media and published the findings on family history and diabetes in peer-reviewed journals. Michigan and Oregon currently have articles in progress, and Michigan is working on an article about their findings on family history and colorectal cancer. In addition, Michigan, Oregon, and Utah have presented their data findings at genomics and public health conferences as well as other events. Am I running low on time? Okay, I'll go fast. Finally, they have limited evidence of how data were used to guide activities, interventions, policies, and disease prevention programs. Let me get to the end here real fast because there are a bunch more findings. I can send you the slides, but I think it's really important to mention what the challenges were from this evaluation. These are some of the challenges that they identified. Limited genomics information applications, no model or best practices for genomics integration, lack of support from leadership and decision makers, limited state resources for genomics, competing priorities or lack of a mandate, limited trained staff, limited coverage. We learned a lot from this. The most important thing is that the states were really effective in integrating genomics into their programs. They had tailored activities. They were able to monitor incremental changes. They established value and impact, and they have an ongoing presence in their state health departments. External partnerships were essential. Local public health is really a fertile ground for genomics. But the most important thing is to keep it simple, relevant, practical, and easily accessible. And so I would like to speed ahead real quickly, acknowledge CDC, the four state health departments that were involved, and there were numerous partners within each of the state health departments. And finally, thank you for your attention. And if you have questions, please send them to Jeanette St. Pierre, and her email is there. And Sarah Bedrosian in our office is also, Sarah, raise your hand. If you want to write down questions, you can just give them to Sarah and she can take them back. Thanks.
We actually have time for some questions.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to get
yes.
Some
not that I can answer it, though, okay?
Did you include some kind of infrastructure to collect DNA from either interested cases or some way to feed back the questionnaires to a collection of DNA?
No.
Okay.
I know that.
Blood
Michigan does,
yeah.
And they're using that for the STD.
But it wasn't a part of this particular cooperative agreement. And the states also, people within the states have participated in the NHANES collection of DNA.
Why were these four states chosen?
They were, people submit a request for proposals to CDC, and they're reviewed, and they're very strict requirements for cooperative agreements, and they compete against one another. And so these were the top four scores for those cooperative agreements, so they were funded. It was a competitive process. Okay, thank you.
Dr. Reyes.
I'll take off my Jeanette St. Pierre hat.
Next, I would like to bring up Dr. Julie Harris.